No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Old School brought to you by the Mercado Certified Piedmontese. Special ingredients in Butcher Shop. 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill. 85th and Andermatt/Old Cheney and 168th and Maple up there in the O. Exciting day in Huskerland. Matt Rhule spoke today. Signing day is a special day everywhere. I mean, obviously you have a lot of young men that have set their goal to go to college, and it doesn't really matter at this level. You've done something, you know, not a lot of people have been willing to do and are able to do. And so you want to tip your hat to everybody, you know, especially here in Lincoln and then obviously throughout the nation making their decisions. But obviously we're Husker based, you know, a little bit smaller class. But Harrison, off that, it comes on the heels of Matt Rhule, I think, or Coach Rhule, the first comment since John Butler's been, you know, fired or let go, I don't know, or mutually agreed to part ways or whatever. So that was rather interesting, you know, to hear his take, his take on it. Coach Butler land on his feet. I know that he's well respected, definitely at the NFL level, and so he probably get a job like that there. So he's probably just sitting back, relaxing, seeing what he's gonna, you know, do next. But
hey, he's still a top, still a top ranked defense, top 25. I mean, it wasn't fantastic, but there's the run game. But I mean, he's got some numbers. It's not like this was the worst thing we've seen in terms of.
Oh, it's not Kevin Cosgrove, but it was down the stretch, didn't end well, and.
The last two
sometimes games, if it doesn't jive well and maybe it was like tough sledding all year, you just kind of say, hey, look, man, it just, you know, this may be not the right time.
If we don't lose to Iowa as bad, is he still on staff?
Oh,
well, like, do you think it was a result of the last two games or do you think it was the result of
it might just been on, you know, just a, you know, not an ideal fit and maybe, you know, the, you know, again, we'll listen to Coach Rhule here in a little bit, but I think sometimes, you know, you know, text line, give us your opinion. I think sometimes, you know, the mix can just not be mixing. You got to think he probably, you know, he was new to the staff originally, interim, essentially a year ago, named the defensive coordinator. Young, parts of the defense, very inexperienced and lacked continuity. And so, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into it. And Coach Rhule made a decision, so you got to, you know, definitely support that and then just go from there. It doesn't mean that he's a bad coach or anything like that. And, you know, I'm always in the favor of the, you know, the players dictate the outcome of what make the coaches. So everybody has a little bit of fault in it, but sometimes these circumstances just don't add up correctly for him. And maybe he just wanted to change the scenery and maybe they wanted to change the scenery. And, you know, it just goes from there. So. It'll be interesting. Everybody on the text line, I know that everybody, the known guys, you know, obviously Jim Leonard and so forth and so on, obviously Wilcox, send in who, you know, some of the guys that you would like to, for Nebraska to hire and see if we can get that over there to the stadium and make sure that they follow what all the fans want, right?
Yeah, a lot of people want Eck. Hire Eck and bring Bill back from Eric.
Yeah. Eckler as a D coordinator?
I'm assuming that's what they mean by bring Eck. You move him to defensive coordinator, and then you bring Bill Bush to take over.
Then who will coach special teams?
Bill Bush. That's the texter. I assume that's what they're saying.
Well, that would be completely backwards. Like, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, I get what you, I understand. I mean, obviously, you know, Bill's a longtime coach. You know, the last defensive coordinator to beat Iowa on a humbug because he just became defensive coordinator like 4 weeks before. So there's definitely tread on those tires. I just think that you know, Coach Rule is going to, you know, be interested to see, you know, the idea or who he hires. And it might be Phil Snow moving forward.
Yeah.
You know, Phil Snow has been successful with Coach Rule and everywhere he's been. I think almost majority of the stops.
You know, well, that's what's interesting when you promote John Butler, but then you have Phil Snow. I don't know. What do you think? What was his role on this year's team?
I think he was, I'm sure he was like a senior defensive analyst or something like that. I mean, they just dice up the names. I mean, he was definitely a defensive consultant. So yeah, I don't know I don't know what his focus was, but
I'm almost like surprised you wouldn't just put him as the at DC. That spot right there and let Butler continue to do what he was doing.
You mean last year?
Last year, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but I think you probably missed out on the chance to get Addison Williams. Obviously, done a really good job recruiting. And you probably didn't forecast that you would probably end the season. You never go into a season thinking that you're going to bottom out, you know, the last two games. You never, yeah. I mean, you never train that hard for those, you know, 6, 7, 8 months. So it'd be interesting to see, you know, who they bring in and what the ideas are if they keep Phil Snow. If Phil Snow knows what he's doing. A lot of coordinators don't have to recruit, so you necessarily don't have to sit up there and you know, worry about how young or old somebody is. And he brings a wealth of knowledge and you know, we'll see, you know, where he's at. I don't think he's ever going to go anywhere. I think he's going to be around and be an asset. And so the more defensive minds and eyes and experiences you can get, hopefully around this young group of defense, you know, will do them the best. I think this is a great time to expand your horizons to what you do. And it's interesting just because, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about the Lane Kiffin situation because now some more things are coming out. So obviously,
I've seen some of them.
Yeah, the players.
I've read some of them.
Yeah, well, yeah, the text message are the one thing. That's his personal business.
That's kind of already.
That like, was
not,
well known.
Not breaking news.
It was like they did a good job of hiding it.
Yeah.
Now that he's gone and he already kind of, you know, he leaves. Lane leaves some skid marks where he's at always.
Yeah. Didn't break any.
Didn't break any rules, but he definitely he bends them.
yeah, there you go.
But it was interesting that a lot of the players are coming out now and saying, no, we never wanted you back. But one thing I will say, though, and one of my really good friends is a big Ole Miss booster. We were neighbors in Charlotte, but he's a huge booster down there. And actually, he's very – I know Lane from high school, but he's very, I mean, their kids go to school together, play football together, or did. And he was telling me the story about everything that he wanted. We made sure he got it like within reasonable time and made sure it was always a point. One of the things he did, which you saw the last 2 years defensively, oddly enough,
mm-hmm.
which was their kind of eyesore for a few years at Ole Miss. They'd score points, but then they would, you'd be in a, you know, 51 to 40, you know, 49 game. Was he wanted more analysts, and he mixed in young and upcoming coaches, some recently, like, you know, former players, and then he brought in a couple guys that he knew that were, didn't want to really be a full-time coach, but definitely could be defensive eyes.
Mm-hmm.
They went up to like what, number 4 last year, and I think they're one of the top defenses by the numbers in the SEC. Reason why I'm saying it right now, this is a good time if you ever have, and I'm not telling Coach Rule what to do, but if you have any type of those inclinations in tryout period, you're doing it with the defensive coordinator. You're seeing it here. I'm seeing on the text right now. You're doing it with Mike Eckler at some position or some, you know, some way. It's a good time to do that because you just never know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to be a hard fix. I think you just got to have an identity and what you want to do and understand what you have to do first and foremost in the Big Ten and then coach and scheme towards it. I think if fans are thinking, all right, we get Harrison and he runs like some magical new version of a 4-2-5, that all of a sudden we're going to be the best run defense. You got to change the mentality and the players got to change their mentality too. You got to take some pride in it. Like getting pushed around or giving up a, you know, however many yards and learning the techniques is a lot on you. You got to make them really good. But then also, you know, this is probably not just a Nebraska problem. A lot of these kids know that, you know, they have a little bit more stability in a football program than some of the coaches. Because if you're making more than the coach and you're under contract, I'm getting paid.
Mm-hmm. Guaranteed, too.
And so one of us has got to go where it used to be the, you know, opposite. So really resetting the structure and the pecking order is going to be huge. And I think that has nothing to do with whether it's recruits or not. This is something that where it's a really good time to see where guys are in true leadership roles. And if they're not ready to be the leaders that you know that you can trust, not that you don't trust them, but meaning that you're 100% authentically leading, then the coaches and the analysts have to take that over. And sometimes, you know, you're not just like, sometimes as a young player, you're a good player. You're just not ready to be a leader. Sometimes some guys are just leaders by just because they do the right things all the time. So you have to have a good mix. But if you don't have enough guys that truly are there, and they do, but I'm saying until you mature to the point there where you're your authentic leader, and understand how you're leading and why you're leading, and your wants and needs are the last that come into the equation.
Right.
Sometimes you got to take them and you got to show them, and then you got to let them do it. Then you got to maybe reel them back because they're not doing it right. Then you got to let them do a little bit more, and then next thing you know, it kind of just goes throughout the whole locker room, and then boom, you got a player-led team.
Yeah, I wonder as well, like, with the coaches and everything, like the position coaches. I haven't always been sold with that in Nebraska. I don't know if it was you that we talked about it yesterday, but, you know,
I wasn't here yesterday.
That's right. I came in. But with McGuire,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, obviously he wasn't here this season, but last season, get your first start here type of school. Like, I don't think we can ever have that mindset. If you want to be Nebraska, like, yeah. you can't be given out, like, well, here, you can try out here at a blue blood.
Yeah.
You know, and then where John Butler, how much of it is on him and how much is it on the position coaches? Yeah, and the staff was huge. This is one of the bigger coaching staffs I think I've seen.
You're talking about holistically, all of them.
Yeah, holistically.
Yeah. Yeah. And everybody has a big staff, but yeah, sure.
But for Nebraska, though, like, what we did,
yeah,
we bumped up the staff, felt like even quite a bit dramatically.
Yeah, staff and all that. Sure. I mean, it's this. You could be a very young coach. So if I went and started coaching, I've never technically coached in college before. Then you lean heavily on, I got 40-some years of experience mm-hmm. since I was 8 years old of being in NFL meetings and all that, and obviously been able to perform it at a decently enough, high enough level, right? So the knowledge there, that's my coaching playbook.
Yeah.
Right? And so if you're a player like Garrett McGuire, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, a very young person, period.
Yeah. He still could be a good coach. I'm not right. saying yeah. that he
and,
can't.
And he put in the effort.
Yeah, for sure.
This is what I'm saying. This is where I'm getting back to the Lane Kiffin point, right? Where you're a very young person, right? He hasn't been – I've been on the earth probably two times as long as he has, right? Where he's young. And – He's a coach's kid, so that's where has an advantage of a lot of guys. He's been in those meetings, but he hadn't played, right? So that's where a little bit of negative. So then, ideally, you would like to have, for instance, like when I was in Buffalo, right? We had a young and upcoming wide receiver coach. Charlie Joyner was his mentor. Charlie Joyner is a Hall of Fame wide receiver and been coaching in the NFL, was on his way to retirement. So kind of just brought him along. You get mm-hmm. what I mean? Maybe you could have done that. And I don't know if that happened, but that's where that goes. You see that all the time. You see, for instance, everybody's talking about on the text line, you got Jim Leonard over there at Denver, right? So he's a senior defensive analyst or whatever it is, and Vance is the coordinator. Mm-hmm. Well, that's he's probably picking up some things from Vance, but he's also bringing his knowledge, obviously, as a former player and coach, right? And you got to think, when Jim Leonard first went from the pros to Wisconsin, what did he bring? He came in as like an assistant or something like that, volunteer coach, and then now look at him, right? So it's just kind of all how you want to do your roster. I've seen very young coaches be the best coaches I've ever had. I've had coaches that have been older that have been some of the worst coaches I've ever had. And I'm talking at the pro level.
Right.
So it all kind of depends who you are as a person, who you want to be as a coach. You know what I'm saying? And you don't necessarily have to be a great football player to be a good coach. You don't have to necessarily be anything in that. You just got to be a really, you know, wanting to, you know, learn and teach. You got to be a really good teacher. You got to be able to have a plethora of support to be able to figure out things in a very short time, in between series, sometimes in between plays. You got to manage personalities all the time. Then you got to recruit, you know, 24/7, 365. So it's not an easy job. And so, you know, it'd be interesting to see the shape of the defense, whoever takes over moving forward, the identity. If it's reshaped, if they tell you, hey, we want to run 3-3-5, and then you want to make it better, then, you know, you're going to have to look more at the personnel and see what you can do to fit certain positions. Remember, we talked about identity of what we want. We have to know exactly what we want in a black shirt nose guard. We want black shirt defensive tackle, offensive or another defensive end, jack position, linebackers, nickels, safeties, and all that. You start really defining that and hyper-focus on that, you'll be able to plug and play, because you'll be able to, in my opinion, recruit, develop more efficiently because you know exactly what you want. Now, you can go outside of that for a special case. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
A Ray Lewis falls into your hands. Well, then all bets are off. We'll probably move to a 4-3
for sure,
and just let him do his thing. I think that's the best way to go about it.
Yeah. I mean, how much does this change just recruiting right now with no defensive coordinator in place?
Well, I think the class was the class, right?
Yeah. But you had to go talk to those guys, I'm sure, and make sure.
Sure. And I think Addison Williams primarily recruited Odom. I'm not even sure there's going to be questions. I mean, I had questions even when I came, and that was because there's some stuff happened outside off the field at Nebraska. So I was just kind of making sure everything was still kosher, right? And so there's always going to be that. There's no different than, you know, another, you know, say I'm a linebacker coach and I recruit you and you're a DB because that's my area, and say I get to go be a D coordinator. You're still going to call and see what's up, because not only did I recruit you, but obviously you got to play for coach so-and-so. So I don't think it affects as much. I mean, obviously you probably
it's better than him being there and you're gonna fire him anyways.
Well, yeah, I mean, and plus I think Matt Rhule said he's got to do him a solid, right? Too, and that's the where you want to have the respect, you know, for another coach, because it's you know, everybody thinks, hey, we just fire him. That's everybody's easy to call in and say, hey, fire him. Well, that's great. Well, you know, he's got a wife and kids and school and all that. Now he's got to go, and he's probably got an agent. And I don't know if he has a house and all that, you know. So nobody comes here, you know, with the thought, okay, I'll be here for 4 or 5 months. I'm going to work 12 hours a day or however many hours a day. But, you know, I can't wait to get let go at the end of the season. That, yeah, that doesn't work that way. So, but to your point, before we go to break, I do think probably want to have something moving, because you're going to have to hit the portal, or are hitting the portal pretty quickly. So whoever you recruit in the portal has to be married to the new defensive coordinator's, you know, idea of what they want to do. Because if you are switching your front from a technically a 3-3-5 to a 4-3, you're going to recruit a little differently. If you're even going to, say, a 3-4, you're recruiting a little differently. Or you're trying to have, like, I'll call it a hybrid year, where you're slowly going to start to morph to the next one. You still got to recruit differently. And then you got to re-recruit this roster. Because if I'm a 3-3-5 defensive lineman, then I'm going to say, okay, where do you see me in a 4-man front? Especially out there, if I was like Cam Linhart or something like that, I want to make sure that I still fit your idea of what I can possibly help produce on defense. So, you know, the sooner the better. I'm sure, you know, if you got to go pluck a guy that's somewhere else, you got to really sell it that it's appealing to come here. It's a great opportunity. You got to see the schedule next year and who'd be willing to, you know, come in and really, you know, put their identity on that defense.
Yeah, that's what's, I don't know. About what it's that front in particular. I'd imagine you want to definitely get that thing rolling through, because that's going to be one of the biggest areas in the portal, I'd imagine, for Nebraska. There's some spots on offense for sure, but that defense, I imagine, is where Nebraska is really going to be.
Well, I think you always want to go get linemen.
Yeah.
Now, there's just not a lot out there. So you also got a way going in the portal and getting a guy that say he had, like, just say there's Jay Foreman in the portal. I've had 6 starts, decent production, versus Harrison that played 4 games, shown a lot of potential. I know you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've made a lot of strides during that, you know, this last year. And then you weigh off the production, the juice, and the squeeze, you know, because sometimes you can stymie your production
right.
or your progress. But I mean, you get what I'm saying? And then also it probably depends on, I'm assuming the if I was going to take a job anywhere as a coach, especially as a coordinator or even as a linebacker, if you're hiring me as a linebacker coach, I'm going to say, okay, let me just send me some tape on the internet or whatever of some of the guys coming back. You got practice tape, you got game tape. That way I can see where I'm, you know, working with versus, you know, what we're going to get. And then I want to be in, you know, connection and coordination with the GM and the head coach because they're, you know, GM's paying the bills.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what I'm possibly
how much do I got.
Yeah. Or going to get or what I got or, you know, all that stuff. So, yeah, I'm sure they always want to get linemen, depending on what Emmett does, you know?
Yeah. He's got a lot to weigh. I'd imagine we won't know for a while with him. Because you got to, figure out where you're drafting, where you're projected to be drafted.
Well, it's just how much are you? It's just a projection. Number one, you want to make sure you're going to the combine, so those invites are probably you probably know.
And the 1890 is going to be kind of measuring up with what where you're landing. I mean, to me, that's a drawn out process for a little bit because that's all, just a lot to go into it. Now that and I know Matt Rule talked about it, now that these student athletes can get paid, it's a much tougher decision. Especially if you're going to be a running back heading to the NFL, who's got one of the
pretty
shortest lifespans.
It's a pretty quick process. It ain't a hard decision. You know your value. You know how much. You'll ask them how much they're allocating to the running back room. You know what you got last year. You know possibly where you projected to get drafted. And then you just got to make a decision. He ain't going to go nowhere else to play, so you got to decide if you're going to stay or you're going to go.
Yeah, I mean, I see him in an NFL jersey or a Nebraska jersey.
Right.
It's not going to be another
college. It's not a hard decision. You got to really get your mind right and decide what you want to do. You know, in the same way that you had a really good year is the same way you got to attack the process if you're coming back or going to the pros. That's where guys mess up. I've seen it. Once they declare for the pros, they think, oh, I got to do this. And they change their stripes, per se. And that's the worst thing you could do. The biggest thing you need to do is really hone in and do what you've been doing before. You don't need to change. It's just that you're just going to change the scenery. So, but you know, as far as you know, what they you know look for is that's obviously going to be a position anyways. You know, mm-hmm. So, you know, and see what they do at other positions. But you know, it's a big, you know, few weeks. You know, for Nebraska to move forward, you're going to start practicing eventually. I don't know where we're going to go for a bowl game, and then you got to look at the that portal, which I love looking at. Austin's on family break,
mm-hmm.
but me and Austin every day, we used to look at the names in there and how many people we were enamored. It piles up quickly. I would be at home texting Austin. 10 more went in, and he'd text me back. 15 more went in. The next day, it'd be sometimes 100 guys would go in the portal. We couldn't even get through them all.
Well, year by year,
it's grown.
If I'm not mistaken, but it's like it looks like an exponential chart.
Right.
It looks like if you do this for 20 more years, the entire college football league will hop into the portal.
At some point in time, everybody will dip their toe into the vortex, as I like to call it.
It'll just be a stink draft at that point. We're just
going to
restart
right.
every
fantasy
year
football,
and do
right.
stink draft.
Yeah, sometimes it is.
Just, NIL solved.
Just do auto draft. So do PlayStation. Anyways, we're going to take a quick break. We'll get back to all of your text. We got some good ones here. So Gorilla Bear, Brad, Eric, Gus, Cherry Bomb. That's a new one. Derek in the car. We'll get to you after a quick break. Jay Foreman, Harrison, Old School. We'll be right back.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Jay Foreman, Harrison, Old School, second segment. We're going to get to everybody's text first and foremost. Eric, yeah, we called you out, Eric. How you like that? Yeah, we said your name like that. Derek in the car, he says, Jay, I think there are linemen ripe for the pickings from a few SEC teams, got to go get them. That might be true, but highly doubtful if they don't let them. If they're worth anything, you generally aren't going to get a lot of them.
Yeah, I mean,
they're going to generally go from, like, Bama to Georgia, so forth and so on.
We get, like, one Bama guy, feels like, every other year.
Yeah.
I mean, we got Pritchett, but
yeah,
he was the only SEC. Then we got Rock out of Notre Dame. Yeah. Last year, I mean,
you're not going to get four or five, generally, guys that are. So you got to really hit on guys that you can develop, that got the right mindset.
Last year was kind of, you know, an anomaly that we were able to get Pritchett and Spurrier, regardless of how you thought they played or think they were going to play. I mean, those
we got Rocco early and then Pritchett a little bit late, mm-hmm. later in the process. So Thomas and Lincoln wants Bill Bush to be the DC.
You just got to beat Iowa, and like, you are a,
I know,
all time.
It's like Ohio State, Michigan. You just do whatever the heck you want.
Just beat Iowa.
Jason, the texter, says, I don't think Phil Snow wants that much of a time commitment. Money G in Kansas says, if Coach Snow wasn't good enough last year, why would he be good enough this year? I think, that would be just because he's been able to evaluate. And, you know, sometimes you get back into that arena and you get the juices flowing. So he's going to call the bowl game. So we're going to see what's up. Mm-hmm. So, but I think it's going to be a collaborative effort. And if there's a new defensive coordinator, I'm sure that if it's not Phil Snow, I'm sure he'll be right in line with it as well. Trey Mann says, I think Coach Butler was dealt a bad hand. The issues on defense didn't solely lay on John Butler. It's more the fact that he couldn't come up with literally anything schematically to slow down the run, let alone stop it. A little bit of truth to that. I don't think he was set up there or dealt a bad hand. It was just kind of, it was the perfect storm to be imperfect as far as, you know, defensively, right? You lose a lot of, you know, you lose a lot of experience, continuity with Ty and Nash. You got to think, you lost Jamari Butler.
Yep.
You lost MJ Sherman. You lost John
Bullock, who was probably
your best defensive player.
Yeah.
You lost Isaac Gifford, and you lost James Williams, you know, who was your main pass rush threat, or one of them. And then Tommy Hill doesn't really count last year, but you still lost him. So you lost a lot of continuity, seniority, and guys that you could trust and knew how to, like, I call it walk and chew gum. Then here comes almost a brand new defense.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where, you know, you're fighting an uphill battle, because then here's what also hurts. Last year, and not this offseason, but last year, all those guys I mentioned and the guys that have played now, Singleton, they were just working on getting continuity together. Who's going to play here in this packages, right? Because they all knew they had been playing together for a while. Versus this spring, everybody was competing for a job. So everybody was kind of like on their solo mission, and then they eventually got to it. And then sometimes that can stymie some of your progress defensively, because you don't have that same continuity. And continuity comes out into on the field, the ability to figure it out and adjust between players. That means we are going to figure it out, and then we'll talk to the coach later. And then also with pre and post snap communication, sideline communication as well. So, what it says, I hope Matt didn't fire John Butler just so he can move Phil Snow in. What has Phil Snow done? He's been a senior consultant. I don't think he fired him just to bring him in. I think I'm assuming that Coach Butler probably had some idea, like some options, and then probably, hey, what are you going to bring me back next year? Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes you can just, all right, peace out, you know. Gorilla Bear wants Clayton White from SC will be at the top of my list. I don't know who Clayton White is. Is that USC or South Carolina?
South Carolina, I'm assuming.
Yeah. He might be an option if Beamer's let go, but I doubt Beamer's going to be let go because there's not a lot of good coaches out there to hire.
Yeah, he's the current defensive coordinator for South Carolina.
Yeah. I mean, they've had a pretty good defense at times.
Mm-hmm.
Brad says, the Cowboys played five linemen against the Chiefs. Yeah, that's called the bear front.
You've been preaching about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what I was just saying. Coach Butler was calling the right fronts to play against.
Well, it's effective in stopping the run.
Yeah.
If you execute it properly.
That's the point.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always good to have the cliff notes until you have to take a test. Hey, dude. Hey, one time, Harrison, I hit pay dirt on cliff notes when I took a test, right?
Really?
You could go buy it at the library, you know, at the.
Yeah. You have cliff notes in your time?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't have ChatGPT or whatever it is. So I actually.
Well, we were on those cliff notes too. So
I had to do cliff notes. I had my highlight out.
Generational run from cliff notes.
Magical.
Incredible.
And I got 100. So I was like, oh. Next test, I can do this.
Yeah, you thought you get that one clip down.
Epic fail.
Yeah.
Epic fail. Gus Mohawk says a lot of people want Sue on staff. Sue has said several recent podcasts he'd like to have more to do with the Cornhuskers. Thoughts.
If he wants to tell them how to spend their money and how to save properly. I don't know what his interest is.
Said no.
Okay.
Yeah. He said no.
He said
he doesn't want to coach. I'm sure he could do something else.
Financial advisor would be great. I'm all for that.
Yeah.
So I know he's doing that with this whole podcast.
Right. Yeah. Let me see. Pipe dream, but would be Bo Pelini, but that would not work.
I think he's right on that.
Yeah. Let me see what Cherry Bomb says. Let me see. Where's he at? He says Eck DC and Bill Bush. Dan Faust passed to him. Oh, yes. He's talking about Charlie Joyner. Yes.
Oh.
I know. He had an appointment. I don't know what that means. OG says, what about Jim Knowles from Penn State? No.
No?
No. Did you see Penn State's defense at times? No.
Okay, fair enough.
Negative, Ghost Rider. That pattern's full. Let me see. If we get Jim Knowles, Ohio State and Jim Knowles Oklahoma State, yes. Yeah.
He had some games this year
where
it was impressive they competed against Indiana.
He likes to run.
UCLA was his worst tape on that defense.
He likes to. Unmasked Texter asks, how many other teams in the Big Ten run a 3-3-5? I don't know. It really doesn't matter because 3-3-5 is just your starting point.
Yeah,
you're generally in four-man fronts majority of the game because there's a lot of nickel, there's a lot of spread, 4-2-5, which is a nickel defense, and then primarily also 3-3-5 does really help against spread teams. I think just how we just need to play better against the run. And it wasn't a lot of times, well, not a lot of times, sometimes, or I don't know the percent, but a decently high percent wasn't the call, it was the execution. So we need to execute a little bit better.
Is that, you know, we need to get better players? Because Bach played this, and it was interesting. He found the audio clip, and I don't have it right now, but I do have rules response. We're in the Iowa game. Yeah, Butler, before the Iowa game, talking about how they, you know, need to kind of up their roster. And essentially, we need guys that, you know, can get off their blocks. And then you hear some of the reasoning, you know, what is Matt Rhule looking for in a coordinator? And he's along the lines of, I never want to hear that we don't have the right personnel.
Yeah, make it work.
Make it work.
Yeah.
Which I get, but it's interesting to hear John Butler saying we need to up our roster here.
Yeah. Well, he probably told you. Well, Matt Rhule just told you something. If you listen, I never want to speak for.
Well, I think anybody. That's why Bach played it. I thought it was a good find.
Well, yeah, that should perk your ears up. Your antenna should go up.
He's right.
He's the head coach. He's always right.
He's right. But it's like,
he's the head coach. It's not even who's right. He's right. He's the head coach.
I'm just saying, like, you know, I don't. John Butler, bold move saying that before the Iowa game, for sure. Like, probably keep
that. Oh, he said it before that?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Bold move. Keep that to yourself. But it was telling to me of, like, I wonder if that's where the real disagreement was.
Yeah, it could be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
That could kind of ring true. You know, or whatever.
Not that there's any bad blood on the way out the door.
No, I don't think there's bad blood, but that's what you want. You want somebody to come in and say, look, I'm a coach. I'm going to make the best out of this.
But when I watch the tape, sometimes I'm like, I don't think he's wrong in saying we need to up that roster.
Oh, we do need to get up blocks better. We do, but we need to also diagnose plays better. We also need to run fit better. We also need to not get pushed off the ball. That has nothing to do with John Butler. So what he's saying is right, but you probably, like you said, you don't want to say it.
Iowa game, too, is kind of crazy. So
yeah.
I will say, not the best time, but I mean, he told you the truth.
Yeah. Trey Mann says John Butler dealt a bad hand. The issues on defense didn't lay solely on John Butler. It was more the fact we already did that one. 16-11, add Dylan Meyer at linebacker, more heart and guts physicality in the current room.
Native, right?
Yeah, from Norris. Mm-hmm. He's a thumper, though.
That's kind of what you need, though.
Yeah, he's a headhunter.
Me and DP were talking about him yesterday.
Yeah, he'll rock the mic, though. Listen, I'm telling you,
he'll do it on special teams or fullback, whatever want. He will run through somebody.
Yeah, then we got 45-36. Did everyone miss the presser where Rule said Snow is not a realistic candidate? We did not see that. So, unknown texter, 45-36. Is that what was said?
Nah, that one I haven't heard.
Did he say that Phil Snow is not a realistic candidate? I don't know.
I don't got any audio clips. I'll double check on that.
Let me see.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Is Phil Snow a defensive candidate?
Yeah, let's see.
I don't know that he is. I think, you know, that kind of the role he's in, I think, is a great role for coach. Goes out and shuts the guys out in the bowl game. Coach is at a stage in his career where, you know, I think he's in a perfect role for him. And I think he's kind of like the Yoda of our office, you know, we'll explore all options. I certainly don't have the answer yet. We will, but not yet.
Okay. So it doesn't go say it pretty much. No.
You heard what he said. Defense come out lights out. You might like what you're doing right now, but this is what I need you to do. Right, Harrison?
But he's their
Yoda. If I said, listen, Harrison, I know you like working at nights. I need you to work in the mornings. And you would just look at me like that. And I'm like, yeah, you know, we're going to get this done. It'll be all right. Take a couple days off, come back. You know what I'm saying? Send Phil Snow down to Florida, man. Get you some nice sun. Come back.
Come back ready to work.
Yeah, we're ready to work, man. I've been missing you, man. You know, that hot wing challenge with the two dudes? Look at us. You know, who would have thought, man? Who would have thought we'd be back here? Bill and Bennett, do you think the 3-3-5 defense ever really could work in the Big Ten? It worked for a couple of years. First year
with Tony White, we were raving about how stellar that was. I mean, it's with the way defenses are, you know, I think you're right. Like, that is your base set.
Yeah.
But look at Ohio State.
That's the problem. People think about that way. Don't stop overthinking. Please. Everybody makes fun of my gray hairs. You're going to get me make them be all gray. I'll be like Charles Oakley.
What if you're on 46? That'll fix everything, right?
Man, we need 46 people. Cupsker says, he says, hear me out, Jay Foreman. Yeah, I'm in trouble now, Cupster. Hear me out, right? Hear me out. Would you pick up the phone if they ask? Yeah, well, but where they go ask me? I'll pick up the phone.
Can you hold the clipboard?
Yeah. Jim Knowles or Jim Leonard? I'd take both. I like Jim Leonard.
I'd go Leonard.
I like Leonard. But wouldn't be mad with Knowles. Would it work bringing in a hungry FCS coach like South Dakota's Travis Johansson? South Dakota's Travis Johansson. I mean, if he's qualified.
Yeah, you got to get the right guy. I think, you know, with some of these schools, they get a lot of, Kurt Cignetti is always the example for everybody, but like Indiana did not hire Google me. I think they got lucky. That's a name that they could hire because their program wasn't really doing anything.
Perfect match.
A home run in a way they could never imagine.
Yeah. And they could never dream of this.
So it could work, but you know.
He was talking about a defensive coordinator. Hire the defensive coordinator from South Dakota. We got another one here about Brian Bergstrom from South Dakota State. You got to think, Braun, the head coach at Northwestern, was supposed to be Fitzgerald's defensive coordinator. I think he came from North Dakota State. So it can't, you know, you can't do it. So you can coach defense, it doesn't matter where you're at. Look, you can coach, teach, and, you know, inspire and hold people accountable and all that. Don't matter what level you're at. You just got to be ready to go. At the end of the day, Ben the texter says, at the end of the day, what matters more? Talent, technical expertise, getting yourself in the right position, the act of tackling itself. They all go together. I think your talent, a big part of your talent is everything that you mentioned afterwards. People mix talent and potential. There's a distinct difference. Your potential is your starting point. Okay. Jay Foreman is at one place. Randy Moss is in another stratosphere. Mm-hmm. But what you do with it is able for me to exceed and accentuate my talent versus only being only potential. And that's what you're afraid of being back home and wearing your high school letter jacket and you kind of flamed out. That's the difference. So, but knowing what you're supposed to do, that's the expertise. Getting yourself in the right position, that's study habits outside of what you're required to do. And then obviously the art of tackling, you got to work on your craft. No different than anything. Let me see. Jason says, yes. Gus Mohawk. I miss getting dogs from JUCO ball. Any candidates out there that we should keep in mind? I'm not sure about that. Maybe we can get my man Greg Smith on and we can talk about some of the
portal. Check out the JUCO circuit.
Portal or just portal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did look at the numbers just because I was curious because I know we're talking about it. I don't know if you know the numbers off the top of your head. How many players, since you and Austin are the portal experts, first year of the portal, how many college football players at the D1 level hopped in?
Like 1,100?
Yeah, pretty close.
Yeah.
1,600. 1,682. Yeah. Second year, how many players?
Oh, it was double.
Double. 2,600. Not necessarily double, but they go up by another 1,000. Year three?
Oh, we did. It's time and a half. One and a half.
Slows down. It actually did slow down quite a bit. 3,058, and then last year was 3,467. But it has gone up every year.
Yeah.
And
plus,
guys, in total, it's ridiculous. Like, if you're going FBS, FCS, D2, D3, it was about 5,000, 6,000, 8,000, and last year was 9,420.
Yeah, that's what we were looking at. Guys jumping in there. Like, hey,
that is.
You ain't even able to get your residential license yet because you got to be 6 months before you can get a license. Anyways, we're a little bit over schedule, 4 minutes. We're going to take a quick break, come back. We'll get more of your text. We'll get into the more of the audio. We'll dive in a little bit more Lane Kiffin, what that means too for LSU. And obviously we'll talk also James Franklin too. How important is it when you lose a coach, how it can affect your program for years to come? Penn State is about to find out because they have struck out at the bottom, at the end of the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and about to strike out at the bottom of the ninth inning with every single coach. Jay Foreman Harrison, we'll be right back. What up, we're back. Jay Foreman Harrison. Quick segment here. We'll get back on schedule. We'll get to your text. We appreciate you guys. Got some good everybody has all the answers. And we'll get into some more Matt Rhule audio. We'll look at the class. We'll talk up a little bit about Lane Kiffin. Then we'll get Jason Peters to put the bow on his hump day. But I congratulated everybody, but I want to send a couple shout outs to a couple kids I know personally. Tyrell Chapman. He's at North Star. He played basketball for me, man. They always get mad that, you know, he is my favorite. He's one of my favorites. He's a great kid. Phenomenal athlete, great parents, great dad, great mom. He's a really, state qualifier in track, very fast, a great athlete. And he played basketball before me for a while, for a long time. I sorely missed him. But then, obviously, when he started to take off on football, it was something that I was hypey. I was really excited for him because he wanted to, take it to the next level. Started to, he was in track. Still played for me up until last year. And then, really took off on 7-on-7. And then was able to earn a scholarship to Iowa State. 6'3", he's a great athlete. He's tough as nails, though. I mean, he's tough. I didn't really try to break him, but I'm talking about the more physical the game, the more intense the game, the bigger the situation, the better he played.
Mm. That's your favorite kind of player. Yeah, anybody's favorite player.
Yeah, he's a special kid, man. I was so happy for him today.
What did he do in track, do you know?
He did everything. I think as a freshman, he made state in the long jump. And the 200, then continue to make it. And then I think they won whatever relay they won, North Star won. He's the real deal. And he's played every position in high school.
Track dudes don't get enough credit for being tough.
Yeah. But he's a football player now.
Yeah.
Now he's a football player.
Well, no, but like you doing track on top of it. Track is the one thing that.
Yeah. Like, well, it helped his football. And also want to give a shout out to Malone Panthers. I think he started out playing with them. So that where, you know, shaped him. Then obviously went on the North Star, but I want to give a shout out to him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, great, like, great when you're that man. Good though, at like basketball or football, and you're still want to do track just to go compete.
Yeah.
And beat and, everyone.
And, yeah. And he was, there was times that he would come to basketball practice just dead tired from track.
Oh yeah.
But as a coach, I'd be like, sometimes I would send him home or not practice him. But in the games, boy, I'm telling you what, it was, and he could get up out of the gym. And then, you know, Marion Jackson, he's a family friend too. Going to Iowa State too, so he's got they got some good people going along with all the other kids going every places. It's
Nebraska Iowa State pipeline.
This year, yeah. But I remember like when Harrison when I signed or whatever at Nebraska, I liked it because I got out of class. You know what I'm saying? I didn't have one of these. There was no social media. I think the local paper was there. It was me and a young lady. I think she went to Georgia Tech or something to play volleyball. And I was coming to Nebraska. And we, you know, the biggest thing, we had dial-up fax machines. So they had to make sure all the phone lines were, like, off besides the fax number. And then you just waited for that confirmation. And then you took a couple pictures. They had, like, a little cake or something, probably Rainbow Foods. Got a little cupcake. Went back to class. I ain't even missed the whole period.
How upset were you walking back in? Was it anticlimactic?
It was a relief, you know. One, it was the biggest relief for me was being, you know, academically qualified.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't struggling, but to, you know, pass the entrance exam, we had to take them then.
And it's a Big Ten school. Right. You know, they're not going to let anybody walk in there.
Yeah. So I had to, once I got that, I was good. So anyways, we're going to take a quick break, come back. We'll get to your text. We'll get all the D coordinators across the nation named. We'll listen to some audio, dive into what's next for LSU and Ole Miss, so forth and so on. Got college football playoff rankings, too. We'll say that maybe for Jason or get that to the end of
your Canes getting left out
right now.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
I don't know how to take it, man, because when I saw it last night, the first person I thought of is you.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break. Jay Foreman, Harrison. We'll be right back.